Well, good morning, everyone. We'll start a minute earlier before we lose that idea of glorifying His name. Father, we do bow down before You, and we do want to glorify Your name. We do want to magnify Your, see Your word magnified in our hearts, Lord, and the opportunity to gather together once again and just come before You and be in Your presence. We know You're always there. You're always with us, but we can gather together with like-mindedness, and it is kind of a special additional spiritual component into the environment around us. And so we thank You for this. So lead us now in these moments as we open Your word once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn to the epistle of John, first epistle, and we are at chapter 2 today. We will go through, well, we'll look at 14 verses, about half the chapter. And I was spending some time on it this morning, and I just came to the realization that there's so much here, we could spend 15 months on this, these 15 verses instead of 15 minutes. So ask for your forgiveness in a way of maybe covering so much you can't remember much about it, but the Spirit knows, and He's given it written down here, and you all have a Bible, so you're never going to be apart from this if you want to look further into it. And one of the commentators, I was actually Vernon McGee, made the statement that he is loves weekly Bible studies, but he says there's a shortcoming in a weekly Bible study. He said it's like having one good meal once a week. And if you only had one meal once a week, you'd starve to death, right? So he said, you got to be in your word every day, right? And in our model prayer, of course, it says what? Give us our, this day our weekly bread? I don't think so. It says our daily bread, right? So one of the things that I'm doing, I'm cheating a little bit. I'm going back and listening to, we went through exactly 5 years ago, almost exactly during COVID. And we went through, on the Zoom thing, we went through the Epistle of John, 1 John. So I have on the top of the notes there, if you want to go to the website, if you want to see an hour spent on this instead of 15 minutes, the second line up there, p20.com, and the date was 2020-4-14, so April 14th, 2020. We had the Monday night or Tuesday morning study on John 2, verses 1 through 14. So if you want to, I don't recommend you spend a lot of time on these kinds of things. I recommend you spend time in the Word with the Lord. But if you spend some time on the Word with the Lord and you have some thoughts and some questions or whatever, there's a few more comments here on the hour thing there that you can look at. And anytime you want to go back on any of these things, if you want to look at what we did last Saturday, you can go back and look at last Saturday. It's on there, and you can see the notes, and you can listen to the recording of what we did. And Lord willing, what we say this morning will be online by the end of the day. So it's amazing thing technology is blessing us with these days, is that we have so many things available to us recorded. You know, we'd like to hear Spurgeon, and we'd like to hear any of the old-timers, how we'd like to hear the apostles or whatever, but there's no recordings, right? Well, now we not only have voice recordings, we've got visual, and we've got photos, and we've got so much information in these last days that it's just a flood. So we have to be selective now as to what we take in and what we keep out, right? Even more so than before. But we've always had that. There's always been the evil one there, and there's always been the resistance there. But today, as we look at the second chapter of 1 John here, we're going to be talking. One of the things that's really amazing about the Scriptures comes out in today's study, it seems to me, and that is this study is for babes, spiritually speaking. This study is for adults, and this study is for fathers, or old-timers. So the one word is for everybody. Isn't that amazing? Because the Spirit will reveal that to us where we need it and where we are. And most of us are in the fatherly stage. I don't think we have any babes here. But really, we're talking about the babes would be new believers in the spiritual sense. And then you have after they have, you know, about the only thing a babe knows when you first come to the Lord is that your sins are forgiven, right? That's about all you know. And then, and you're really not free from the evil one at that point. You don't even know the evil one, really. I mean, you do, but it's not like the evil one has been in your face as an unbeliever all the time because you're going the same direction that they are, right? He is. And then we get to the fatherly stage. Now we not, well, let's go to the adult stage next. Now we not only know our sins are forgiven, now we have access to the Word of God, and we know what we ought to do. But all of you know what the word ought means, but O-U-G-H-T, we know what it means, but it doesn't mean it automatically translated into doing it, does it? You know, I know I ought to be in the Word every day, but do I do it? You know, that's another question. Now, when we get to the fatherly stage, where most of us are, I believe, been in the Word, been walking with the Lord for some time, now we not only know our sins are forgiven, we not only know a lot about the Word, but now we know about a lot more of His promises being fulfilled than we ever knew earlier in life, because a lot more have been fulfilled now than were fulfilled 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. So now we've had the testing of the Word, and we've seen how true it is, and still we see ourselves, after all these years, still struggling, don't we, to do what we ought to do, and to do what He shows us, and to really honor Him. Now, we're going to celebrate this Thursday nationally as a Thanksgiving Day, but we don't need a Thanksgiving Day nationally to be giving Him thanks, do we? We should be thanking Him all the time, because just think what He's given us. And so my balance on my scale is how much is the complaints, how much is the, oh, things are so bad on this side, or, oh, what woe is me, how much problems I've got, or on that side of the scale, and how much are on the side of the scale here just overwhelmed with His goodness. You know, I think we need to keep that in mind even as we go through this little study here this morning, because we'll see some of these things. Anyway, verse 1 says, my little children. So there's the word for the little ones, and it's here's this old man, really, John, at this point writing. He's probably 90 by now, plus or minus, and he's addressing the believers now as little children. These things I write to you. Why? So that you may not sin. Now, we mentioned last week there are kind of four major points in the epistle of 1 John that we kind of remember. And this is the second one. The second one it's been written is what? That you may not sin. So that's the second basic purpose here in this epistle, if you want to look at it that way. And he brings into the fact that if anyone sins, now that's if anyone, anyone. Now, that's so far away from limited atonement, I don't know how the Calvinist could really handle that verse there, because it covers everybody, right? It's not just His blood, it only covers the believers. But anyone, and if it, particularly now here we're talking to believers about the advocate, but everybody has an advocate if they would receive Him. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, I know that most of us would, if we get into a real severe legal scrape, we'd like to have the best attorney available, right? I mean, you wouldn't want a klutz up there that can't even, doesn't know anything if they're defending you, right? Now, we've got a continuous advocate, not just when we sin. It's not, oh, I've sinned, oh, here comes the advocate. Yes, he'll defend that, but he's defending us all the time, because the evil one is constantly against us, right? So he's constantly for us. Now you have the creator of the universe as your attorney. There's no law school like that, right, that he's graduated from. He is the law, right? So he is an advocate with the Father, pleading our case, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I'd love to have a righteous advocate. That's the problem. Too many advocates are far from righteous, right? But we have the righteous advocate. And what is he himself? The propitiation, that means the one who pays the price in full, satisfies the payment. In other words, he is the satisfier of payment for our sins, of the wrath of God. And not for ours only, again, notice this is not limited, not only for ours, but also for what? The whole world. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, heaven will never get too full. We'll never run out. Well, heaven got filled up. There's no more room there. Never going to happen. There's always going to be that room, in a way, or for the whole world. Now, by this, we'll have, by this is a bunch of things. We'll have it eight times, I believe, in this epistle. Now, by this we know. What do we know by this? Well, first we look at what it is that it's by this. We know that if we know Him, we keep His commandments. In other words, knowing Him proves, or by keeping His commandments proves that we know Him, right? So are you keeping His commandments? If you are, you know Him. If you're not, it doesn't. You don't know Him, right? That's what that really says. And here it flips it the other way. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Yeah. You know, that's not very socially acceptable, John, to talk like that, right? But he who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Powerful. But whoever, not just a few, but whoever, open to everyone, whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is what? Perfected. Now that's where the Father's kind of come into it. His love has been more perfected in us now than it was when we were a new believer, certainly, and certainly when we were just a young believer. So whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is made perfect, complete, in Him by this we know. In other words, by that keeping the word of God and knowing truly that God is perfected in us, by this we know that we are in Him. So you want to know if you're in Christ or not? Are you keeping His commandments? Do you always keep His commandments? No. If you do, if you say you are, then we'll show you again a little bit of the verse, you're a liar. So, verse 6, he who says he abides in Him ought, there's that word I mentioned earlier, we ought to walk just as He walked, right? Is there anywhere in here it says, this is the way Jesus walked, now you walk some other way? No, it says, walk the way He walked. So here it says again, he who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as He walked. Brethren, again, believers, I write no new commandment. But 7 and 8 are talking about a new commandment. Or actually, it's really not so much a new commandment. I call it a fresher commandment. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. Now, what is that? Well, I believe he's going back to Levitical law. I believe he's going back to Deuteronomy, where it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And what? Love your neighbor as what? What's the standard? As yourself. That's the old law. But now he's got a newer commandment. The old commandment is the word which you had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light, that's Jesus Christ, is already shining. Now, Jesus has given us a newer commandment. What is that? The standard is not loving others as we love ourselves, but the standard we're to aspire to is loving others as he loved us. Woo! Talk about an upgrade in requirements. It's huge. So how are you loving others relative to the way you're loved by the Lord? Now, there's no room in that equation for hatred. If you got any hatred in your life, get rid of it, because you cannot possibly even come anywhere near loving the way He loves us if you've got hatred in your life. So is there anybody you hate? Get rid of it. Take it to the Lord. Pray for them. Oh, I can't pray for them. I couldn't stand that. I hope they go to hell. I don't want to pray for them. Pray for them. And of course, what we find after we pray for them a while, we find out they're not quite so bad as we thought. We keep praying for them. Pretty soon, we like them. Keep praying for them. Pretty soon, we love them. Pretty soon. Is that right? Is that not the way it works? If you allow so. Now you can go the Ahithophel route and just stay bitter and end up suicide. That's the way it ends up, the other way around. So verse 9 now, here we get back to, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So You really get nailed on this word hatred when we start to look at this. And we want to get nailed on the word love too, right? I don't mean that one's more important than the other, but they're both so important. Kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. Verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. Now notice the comparison between verses 9 and 10 there. Darkness is hatred. Love is light. So he who loves his brother abides in the life. He who hates his brother is in darkness. So they're the two extremes. And there are only two kingdoms in the world. That's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're either one or the other. You can't be partly halfway between. It is not going to work that way. In other words, if you got some hatred in your life, you're not in the kingdom of light. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So clear. Isn't the word clear? Isn't the word clean? It doesn't have any wiggle room there, you know? It's not, yeah, I know, but most of the time I can do this. But, you know, some of the times I really feel justified in hating this person or what. No, there's no wiggle room here. He's so good, so good. Now, these next three verses are going to close where we're out today, close it out. But we're talking about spiritual state, and I've already mentioned this a little bit. Verse 12 talks to the new believer, or it could be a baby too in terms of physical. It could be a very young person, 3 or 4 year old maybe, maybe a little older. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Because as I mentioned earlier, that's really about the only thing the little child or the new believer knows is that their sins are forgiven. So he's writing to them. Now, this I write comes from the writer's perspective, the Holy Spirit writing through John. And then the last, verse 14, I have written, that's from our perspective. So now this is the perspective from the writer, from the Lord. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for your name's sake. Now he goes up to the mature ones. I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Now, you're not just knowing your sins are forgiven. With maturity in the walk, you come to know him. So do you know him? You certainly know him better than you did when you're a new believer, right? No question about it. Much better. And now, in the middle here, I write to you young men. These are the warriors. These are the ones that are really out there at the battlefront, right? That we should have been in for years. But now the fathers are kind of, they're back in the support section. They're not out on the front lines anymore, really. That doesn't mean we're not to be in the front lines in his army. But physically, we're probably not the energy we had when we were in the fit of our youth or whatever. I write to you, young man, and that really would mean strong in the faith as opposed to physical, probably. I write to you, young man, because what? You've overcome the wicked one. Now, when you first came to the Lord, you didn't even know who the wicked one was, probably. And then after you walk a little bit, you feel, man, I'm just getting beat down in this business of being a believer is hard. I thought it was going to be easy. It's hard. But now you see, we have been given in his word ways of overcoming the wicked one, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan must yield, right? And we see that in our lives. We have overcome the wicked one because we're his. And then back to the little ones again. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And so added to knowing their sins are forgiven, they know the Father. I mean, you can't really be a believer if you don't know the Father to some degree, right? If you don't know God, how are you going to believe in God, right? And now he says, from our perspective, from us old timers, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. So not just know him, but you have known him. When you first came a believer, you've known him maybe 24 hours, for your first 24 hours. Now we can look back. How many 24 hours can we look back as being a believer? Most of us, many, 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 right? I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. And then I've written to you, these are the young adults. We've got a few here. Rudy fit probably, maybe some of the others. But I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. Now, again, a new believer doesn't have the word of God really abiding in them yet because they don't know it. They haven't been in the word. But once we walk with the Lord a while and being in the word, that word abides in us. And then the overcomers, and you have overcome the wicked one. So that would apply pretty much to everybody but the babes. I don't think the babes have overcome the wicked one yet. But these young men have, that are walking with the Lord, and the fathers have. So that's a three-way looking at the, or three verses looking at the spiritual state of the believer. So you know where you are in that, and you can see what that means for us. So that'll bring us to the close of today. Next time, we'll look at not to love the world, and we'll look at deceptions in the last hour and a few other things there as we go on through. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, there's so much here that you're so beautifully given to us, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we kind of into Thanksgiving ideas here as well, even this season, we want to be thankful for all things. So Lord, as we pray to you this morning, may we have in our recipe, may we have that thankfulness, and may we have that praise that we want to give you as you would lead us. And then may we come to you with other requests that you would show us. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but we know that the promises of the Spirit will even intercede for us, even making groans and utterings and those kinds of things. But here we are, just as a little family, gathered together, led by one Spirit in one accord, and therefore we can say amen to just each and every intercession prayer that goes up. And so, Lord, lead us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the millions and billions of gallons of water that have fallen on California in the last 8 days. Lord, we so desperately need water, and we know water doesn't disappear, but the allocation can be a problem when you've got so many people populated in one area and all. Certain parts of the upper Midwest or Colorado and those areas in there have not gotten much rain. It's so dry there. So we thank you for the rain that you've given us, and we had almost 6 inches of rain now in the last at home in the last 8 days. And Lord, no floods, unbelievable. Amazing. Not only did you give us so much water, you gave it to us over time where it didn't all run off and cause all kinds of damage. So you do send the rain on the just and the unjust, and you do send so many things, I guess everything, on the just and the unjust, because you, that's who you are. So Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to be good stewards of what you give us, yes. Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Well, we've come to about the end of the hour. I had another song here on your song sheet, but I think we'll change and sing Give Thanks. This is appropriate time. We want to give thanks every day and kind of thankfulness nationally this coming week. So let's sing this Maranatha song, Give Thanks.
He's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what
Father, we do give you thanks today, and thank you for meeting us here, Lord, and all of our prayers where we've made demands on you to do your part is a little bit superfluous because you've already done it. You'll always give us the words to say. You always want the lost to be saved. Lord, help us to understand you've given us free will and you'll not force anybody. And we've got a role to play that is represent you, and that's what we're to do. And help us to do that mostly in prayer now, I think. But to the extent you give us the physical presence as well, we thank you. And we'll have opportunities even this week probably with people we don't always see every day. But not just our family. We want, there'll be 160,000, 180,000 people taking their last breath today. Yes. Every day. Yes. And how many of those do not know you, you know. We don't, but probably most. So, Lord, help us to redeem today. You've given us today, and if you give us tomorrow, may we redeem that as well.
Yes.
We ask in Jesus' name. Bless each one who's here, Lord. And just may your favor be upon them. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.